Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guten Tag, my friend, Simon Miller from What Culture here. That's right, here I am in America, and I have just watched AEW Dynamite Live, so I can give you a straight reaction, whether I thought it was any good, whether I thought it was pants. And nowadays, when I say pants, I mean trousers, because I've moved to the USA. We need to be having this conversation. Let's up these downs. John Moxley started off this week's Dynamite 2. What a guy. Of course, he is the brand new IWGP champion, and we haven't seen him on AEW in a while. We essentially walked down the aisle. He was like, hello, my name is John Moxley. I've got a new haircut. I've joined the Bald Brotherhood. And that's right, I went to New Japan and I won their tippity top belt. This was quite inspiring as well, because he kept talking about how some people had said he was never going to do it. Well, look at him now. And he basically did one of those rah rah wrestling is great speeches. But I believe every single word that comes out of Jonathan's mouth. So I sat over there and I like cried headlocks. That's just what happens when you like the wrestling. He also told us that he hates the Don Callis family, mostly because they've been going after Bryan Danielson, when he essentially said he was going to kill them to bring down the crime counter. And next week on Dynamite, he has his eyes on the biggest one. That's right, he's going to take on Powerhouse Will Hobbs. Oodalally. V-Mox also said that he's going to beat him so badly, Powerhouse will realize that Don Callis has been lying to him. But once again, he said, nobody can beat me because I'm John Moxley, as he has moved to medieval Britain, as he threw down the microwave, the microphone, the microwave, and he walked off. That was a genuine error. So this was just a way to reinsert John Moxley into AEW proceedings and tell you that he is the IWGP champion. And I'm sorry, I know that New Japan isn't the company it once was, but that is a massive big deal. There's just something about John Moxley that I truly do like. Give me that up. When Mercedes Moné was here talking to the camera, and she had like five colours in her hair, that's pretty like a rainbow. She is super duper mad that she got attacked last week, and of course she does think it's Julia Hart because the lights went out before this. But then again, if somebody wanted to pretend they were Julia Hart, they would do this too. So maybe it's Willow Nightingale. Dun dun dun. I swear that Monet keeps insinuating that the only reason she isn't going to have a match until Double or Nothing is because she isn't 100% cleared. That's what she said here too. She was talking about her medical situation. And well, that's kind of the problem. Because while all of this was fine, as we all know, Mercedes Moné is one of the best wrestlers of the modern generation. Now, a lot of us are sitting there twiddling our thumbs going, well, you know, I suppose this is all right, but I really would like to see you fight. As you can see, that rhymes, so it must be true. So I just think that keeping her out of the ring this long hasn't actually gone the way we would have wanted to, so I am going to give it a down. Because now it's like wanting an ice cream, but the ice cream is locked behind a safe, but somebody told you you could have the ice cream. That's a terrible analogy. I just don't think what we are doing has been working in the way that we wanted it to. So yeah, that's a down. When somebody attacked Willow Nightingale, it's like a flipping epidemic. Now this was doubly bad because Adam Copeland already made his way to the ring to team with her when the lights went out. I was laughing to myself because this does happen a lot on AEW TV. When they came back on, who was laughing on the stage? It was Julia Hart. And who attacked the former Edge from behind? Brody King. Now the absolute highlight of this is Copeland once again is just testing himself out in so many ways, because Brody absolutely destroyed him here, including at one point setting him up against Barry Barricade, and he just flattened him. If Alan Copeland comes out later and says, yeah, I don't have any ribs left, be like, well, no, of course you don't. They got crushed. Copeland then just continued to get murdered and murdered over again. But I think the main reason he did do this is because he is looking at the bigger picture, and he's like, hey, I like these House of Black folk, and I want to get them over as absolute monsters. Well, mission success. And he was able to get his desperation neck breaker because he hates necks for obvious reasons. But then when he went for the spear, Brody just absolutely murked him again. And it did make me chuckle because once again, he folded up like an accordion. Surprise, surprise, though, just as he did find a spot of hope, Willow Nightingale did run to the ring. And who saw that one coming? But this rocked too, because she got the tag by touching Adam's foot. And that's right, she hit a crossbody onto Brody King. So I need that now. Brody King versus Willow Nightingale next week. Also cannonballed him in the corner as Adam Copeland went and took him out over the top rope. This is when Julie was like, literally nobody is paying attention to me. So she got a chain. She punched Willow straight in the face when she applied the Heartless. And then the referee turned around and went, oh, well, this person's knocked out. End of the match. So I do admit the finish of this was a little bit off when it came to the timing, but who cares, because it was super duper fun. And afterwards, Mercedes Moné ran to the ring with a chair, and after she had chased off Julia Hart, I thought she was going to hit Willow Nightingale. And I bet she was too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids, or Daddy Adam Copeland watching on. I really do hope this is the start of a heel turn, because Mercedes Moné is so much better like that, and even kind of teasing it here, it worked so much better. And honestly, this was so damn entertaining. Fun, fun stuff. Renee Paquette was then sitting down with Samoa Joe, who is going to be taking on Swerve Strickland at the weekend for his world title. This Samoa man, he was basically just saying things like, man, I think Swerve Strickland's a choke artist, and that's why I'm going to choke him. That's why he's never going to win this title. Now look, I don't know what it is that Samoa Joe has, but it is flubbing brilliant. And then it looked like we were going to get this FTR video package where we had a delight of a segment, because the Elite interrupted, because the Bucks are like, oh, I'm really sorry. We've run out of time, Cash and Dax. So we've told Tony Khan to cut this, because of course we have EVP powers. This also tied into their six-man tag, because it was going to be those two in Okada taking on Penta Pack and Daniel Garcia. And halfway through this match, Matt Jackson just got on a microphone and he was telling off the commentators, apart from Taz, who thinks doing a really good job. He shouted at the fans and he basically looked at his opponents and were like, these guys are a bunch of geeks. We need more of this. And in terms of leaning into the EVP stuff, well, this is up there at the top. We also saw Ricardo and Penta go at it, and who doesn't want to see that when Penta hit all the spring brains? But get this. He then smashed Ricardo with the Made in Japan, and the Young Bucks had to break it up at the 1-2-ooh, which means Penta basically just beat Ricardo. Let's not go on the internet today. Pac then flew in with a cutter. This dude is just so good, as he also smashed Ricardo with a thrust kit, and he would have won this too, because he's going to go for the Black Arrow. That's when Matt Jackson said, nope. He pushed him off the top rope. It was in time for the Rainmaker to smash Daniel Garcia with that awesome dropkick when Garcia came back with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But basically, because Danny Boy doesn't have a match at the pay-per-view, Akara just hit him with the Rainmaker and he beat him for the 1-2-3. Does kind of feel like we have stopped pushing Daniel. That is weird. Akara remains one of the best people ever, though, because he shook Daniel Garcia's hand after this, even though he was knocked out, and the Elite went totally crazy, because they were grabbing ladders, and they were about to destroy everybody here, when Pac reminded us, oh yeah, I really like hammers, and he chased everyone away. Also want to point out that Akara also did about 72 million tombstones during this thing. Now look, I just like all of it, and come the weekend, we're also going to do a six-man tag between everyone involved at the pay-per-view, and then when we get to Dynasty, it is Okada versus Pac, and it is the Young Bucks versus FTR Part 4, whatever it is. I can't get mad at that. Gig it up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
when we got the next step in the Hook Jericho story, I just need to tell you, and you will have to forgive me, I don't really get it. Because this week, Chris Jericho had told Taz to be in the ring to adjudicate the thing. So the two people came out, and Christian was like, hello, Hook. Let me tell you about the Jericho Vortex, as somebody definitely goes on Reddit. And every single person I have been associated with has learned from me, and they have gone on to be a main eventer. Hook then basically said he doesn't care about any of this because he doesn't need Chris Jericho's help. When from nowhere, Jericho was like, I know you've had a terrible upbringing because of your crappy dad. No offense, Taz, that's what he says. But once again, you need some good leadership. And that will be me, Christopher Jericho. He also told Hook that he's not as good as he thinks he is. When he pushed Taz, and understandably, the wonderfully haired warrior then got really mad, and he pushed Jericho right into the turnbuckle, and he said, listen, I shall fight you any place, any time. So I presume this is going to happen at the pay-per-view. That was it, and everybody walked off. I really think that Taz probably should have done something here, although fair play to Excalibur on commentary, because he was like, oh my gosh, Taz is dealing with knee issues right now, so Jericho shouldn't have done this. I just don't really understand where it's going. I'm repeating myself now. I'm like, this segment was okay, but did it light a fire under my ass? No, I don't think that it did. I also kind of feel like the whole thing is in fast forward, because a couple of weeks ago, they were the best of friends, and then they had that falling out with Shibata, and then we just threw Taz in there. And I understand that Hook is Taz's son, but I kind of feel like maybe we could have built this up more. Makes me scratch my bald head. And listen, no matter what we do here, Hook is going to go on to be a main event because he's so damn good, and Chris Jericho is all time. But look, sometimes you throw things into the pot, and you don't get the recipe you're expecting. What? Damn. Triumph then issued his response to Samoa Joe, and he too was great here, because he was like, Samoa Joe, you have no clue, but why the hell are we talking through Renee Paquette? And you know what? I shall see you in the ring later. They weren't lying. He was going to do it. Firstly, though, it was Deonna Purrazzo versus Mariah May with Toni Storm in her corner. And the one move I want to point out is that Mariah May basically did a somersault into a hurricanrana when Deonna Purrazzo tried to push her off, but instead May threw her to the floor. I was like, my gosh, that was actually pretty damn devastating. We also had this hilarious chant by the crowd because 50% of people were going, we want tables, and the other 50 were going, no, we don't. And they actually agree with the negative ones. That wouldn't have made any sense in this match. It was just a normal exhibition. As I always do as well, I want to point out that I still feel like Deonna is miscast here, but man, she went crazy at Mariah. She hit all these death clotheslines. And somehow Mariah was able to turn that into a DDT off the top rope. She got a 1-2, ooh. The most annoying part was that Tony kept saying funny things to Mariah and the camera was cutting away. I was like, damn it, I want to hear what's coming out of her mouth. At one point, we did jump back into the ring and Deonna just hit the most devastating moves in all of sports entertainment, a surprise roll-up, and she pinned Mariah May. That was that. Tony, of course, jumped her straight away, which is when Thunder Rosa came out to make the save. This is way better than what we did last week, because not only did Thunder absolutely whoop her ass, but when she was down, she grabbed the makeup and she smeared all over her face as revenge. You wiped off the face paint of me, so now I'm going to paint your face. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. So I actually quite liked all of this, and while it has kind of told you that at the pay-per-view, Thunder Rosa isn't going to win the championship, as I said 7 days ago, it was a really weird angle. This one was way, way better. The match was pretty good. We then had an interview with the Bang Bang Gang, and Jay White sounded more like Korg than ever, but I tell you, I laid down and screamed here, as he said, come Dynasty, the Acclaimed, we want to fight you for your six-man tag team belts, and we shall put our six-man tag team belts on the line, and whoever does win takes it all. So we are uniting those things. Thank Flubbins for that. The Acclaimed then responded to this, and they were like, yes, we do accept. The real shame is that this is happening on 0 hour, or the pre-show. I guess, you know, something's got to go there. But I do like the fact that we're drawing a line under this. It should have happened many weeks ago. When it was time for Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor, and of course this made sense, because even though at the start of this thing, Shane said, listen, Anthony Ogogo, Lee Moriarty, leave him alone right now. I'm going to take him out. The point was, everyone did keep attacking the piece of fruit, but Orange doesn't have any friends anymore. So he was just alone Orange. And nobody wants to be alone Orange. At least want to be hanging out with a grape. I mean, Taylor was just wrecking this poor fool as well, but at one point he was strangling him, which made me go, can you stop a piece of fruit breathing? I don't think that's a thing. That's this great bit. When Orange was so weak, he was doing these like, oh, my punches aren't going to do anything. When he hopped to his feet and he just wham Shane Taylor with a super kick. that rule. Cassidy then tried to go to the top rope, but surprise, surprise, Moriarty and Agogo stopped him. But this is when Shane was going back to the strangling, but somehow Orange Cassidy reversed that into a DDT, and then he dived on Lee Moriarty, and he dived on Anthony Agogo, and Orange Cassidy was feeling it, and he was taking everybody out. He didn't actually miss the orange punch when he got kneed right in the face, and I thought he was dead. But once again, he must have crazy HP, because he shrugged that off. He hit another orange punch, and he pinned Shane Taylor, uno, dos, tres. So, I mean, this was a little bit of a weird match, and of course, Agogo and Moriarty were in there right afterwards, and Anthony was doing the big punches, when finally, and I mean, man, they took forever, Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal came to the ring, but Trent, he was there in a hoodie, and he stopped them, because as we now know, he is not a best friend anymore. I do like this, though, and I presume they are going to be doing this at Dynasty, because I feel they have a great match, and this story has been built for weeks. Yes, I am quite excited about this. I shall give it an up. But I also do have to throw it down in here, because by the time we were doing yet another post-match fight, I was like, this is at least the third one on the show. Now, look, I don't really have a problem with this, but for some reason, it stood out like a sore thumb. Don't think you need to copy and paste everything, because again, it enters your brain. That's a down. When we got into our main event, which you have to go and watch right now, it was Will Ospreay versus Claudio Castagnoli, and I don't care, man. These two are the best of the current generation. I mean, Claudio just went nuts here, was going finisher crazy, and almost got a 1-2-0 instantly, when he was just going after Will Ospreay's back, and even when Ospreay tried to dive him outside of the ring, Claudio caught him and threw him into the ring apron. As we know, the ring apron is the hardest part of the ring. And this Claudio man, we don't shout about him enough. If I wasn't staying in a block of apartments, whatever the hell you call it, I would shout his name right now. That would also be really weird. Will is also just crazy, crazy over and could easily become the number one babyface in AEW. At one point, he just did this springboard forearm for his own 1-2-0, and it was effortless. And don't forget, in most people, this would be their finishing move, but for Will, it's just a Wednesday. He then made a terrible mistake because he tried to apply the sharpshooter, and Claudio was like, excuse me, that's my move, so he put it on instead. By this point, we were just doing wrestling tennis, and Ospreay hit the Tiger Driver, and he got another 1-2. There was then just this amazing float over Sagat uppercut by Claudio, which Ospreay answered instantly with a Hurricane Rana when we got to the best part of the match, because Claudio went to do the big swing, and somehow Will Ospreay turned that into a move of his own. I'm going to watch this till I'm dead. Claudio also caught Will again for another 1-2, where he also hit this tremendous pop-up uppercut as he was rocking, but that's when we got the big swing. Even though Will Ospreay did hit the Sky Twister, Claudio was like, nope, he kicked out. This is when he did get whacked in the head by the Hidden Blade. Will Ospreay wins, but this gets a massive round of applause. Look, I'm even falling over. It was fantastic. Now, Don Callis had been on commentary the whole time, and the Don Callis family attacked after this. But a very key note you need to walk away with is that William left the ring, and he didn't want any part of it. In fact, he was a bit pissed off. Eventually, John Moxley did make the save, and even though it was 3-on-1, he was able to fight everyone out of the ring, including powerhouse Will Hobbs, which, of course, ties into next week. I can't remember if I just said up or not, but of course this gets an up. And again, I'm just going to double down on it for you. Go and watch this match. These two, they are something else entirely. When we got our closing segment, because of course Swerve had said he did want to confront Drew, so he did walk out and said, hey, Joe, I said your name, and as per Wrestling Rule 14.8, you do have to come out. And for some reason, when the world champion did, he was surrounded by wrestling security. Now, one, AEW could have just told them no, but two, as we're well aware, wrestling security sucks. It actually didn't matter though, because Strickland then hopped over the top rope and he stomped on the security like he was flipping Mario and they were Goombas, and this is when Samoa Joe and him got into it. And even though at one point Swerve was cooking him with the house call, when he went for another stomp, Joe stopped him. He hit the muscle buster as he shouted at him, hey Swerve, you're not that guy. So this was just absolutely terrific, and they have great chemistry together. And given that Samoa Joe did leave him lying on the Dynamite before the pay-per-view, we may be days away from Swerve Strickland becoming the AEW World Champion. And to that I say, you damn right. Although I'd still be torn in two different directions, because if Samoa Joe was champion till the day I die, that would be fine too. But that's why this match is going to rock. It is getting an up. What a great feud it's been. Which, of course, brought us to the end of AEW Dynamite, and I thought this episode was way better than last week's. They found the momentum again, and I cannot wait for the weekend. I think it's going to be a superb occasion. up. Now, of course, please do like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Leave me a comment below and say, Simon, you don't know what you're talking about, you biased bull guy. Because, you know, we have to do that every single week. And click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs for all. But otherwise, I appreciate you still being in my life, my friends. And I will see you very soon.